Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we had the opportunity to hear Pastor Jim Hansen talk about the gospel lesson, which was on divorce. So it doesn't get much more difficult than that until I looked at today's gospel lesson. Oh, Jim, where are you now? Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Didn't like the answer. And so he went home sad. It's a tough answer. What do you have to do? Give it all away. Think about the implications of that. Give it all away. Well, can I keep my house because I have to have some place to live? Jesus says, no. All of it. Well, what about my Lexus? I have to get around, don't I? Oh, no, that too. My golf clubs? Nope. My 401k? No, that goes away too. You know, the curious thing about the lesson, for me at least, was Jesus saw the rich man, talked to the rich man, and had this reaction to the rich man. He loved him. I would really hate to see what Jesus would have to say to somebody he didn't like. Because that's not the answer we want. And that's not the way our world works. When we love somebody, we bend over backwards for them. We do all kinds of things. We want to make sure their life is as easy as possible. We want to help out when we can help out. We want to be able to gently let them down when they're wrong. We want to be able to make sure that things are good. And so this response from Jesus does not seem to be a very loving response at all. For anybody who has had relationship counseling, I don't think that one really fits very well. And the implications are outstanding for us 2,000 years from now. We know where we stand. We're in the upper 1%. I've never finished in the upper 1% of anything in my entire life. And now I'm in the upper 1% of wealth, and I find out that I'm in trouble. And the strange thing we have is really our understanding, I think, of the things that we own. We call them possessions because, quite honestly, we're very possessive of them. They're ours. We have houses and we have cars, and we've chosen those things fairly carefully to be able to reflect who we are. And they are ours. Unless, of course, for some of us, you choose not to pay your lease, your lien, or your mortgage, and then in about 3 months, they'll no longer be yours, will they? Because they're not yours to begin with. You have this joint venture that you've set off with at some point in your life with a financial institution to be able to claim possession of the house or the car. And yet the reality is none of them are ours. And what the bank might find out later on, if they have any sense of theological standing, is it's not theirs either. You know, cars come from all kinds of creations of substances and products and particles that are put together and formed in a certain way. And if you go back to the very beginning when we've been given this world, what we've been told is that we've been given the world, everything on the world, the plants, the creatures, and everything else, to have dominion, to care for, to look after, to use them in a relatively good way. And so if you want to look at your Lexus and say, well, this is really a nice car, it goes back to the engineer who put it together in terms of saying, I want this car to look this way. But it goes back to the previous engineer who previously designed the car, and then back to the engineer who designed that car, and back and back and back and back and back until we get to the guy who found the rock that was kind of round and chiseled it and made it a wheel. Because all of these things that we have are kind of built on this inverted pyramid, starting from one sense of creation and working its way up. And the thing that always starts at the very beginning is the ingenuity and the material that God has supplied to us. You see, what we have and what we think we possess and what we claim to own is just on loan. Because there's none of this stuff we're taking with us. None of it. We'll be stripped of everything, including life itself, to gain the inheritance of entering into the kingdom of heaven. Whether the rich man sold his stuff or not, I would think in the end he's not taking it with him. You see, the blessings that we have been given to us not for us to possess, but for us to use for the betterment of humanity. To be able to take those things that God has given us and to be able to use them in a way that is really, truly a gift to the world around us. What we have, our life and our possessions, are blessings that have come from God Himself. And we're asked to use those things in a manner befitting our thanks for what God has loaned us. It is impossible for us to get rid of everything. It's not even logical. But the reality is, for us to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven, while it's impossible for us to be able to obtain that goal, it is possible for us to be given that gift through what God shares with us. The blessings we've been given, those things that we possess within our lives, are things that we are to use and to give thanks for, to be able to share with the world around us. From the very beginning of time, God has insisted on what we call a biblical tithe, that 10% gift of the very best that we have. That is our acknowledgement of giving thanks for the things that God has given us, God has loaned us, God has allowed us to use here on our time, here in this place. And the blessings we receive later on have nothing to do with what we possess, and only to do with the blessings of God. I have no chance of getting into heaven any more than I have a chance of dunking a ball at a Suns game. I can jump about 2 feet off the ground on a good day, off a ladder. I have less of a chance of getting into the kingdom of heaven. It is only through the grace and love and gift of God that I will ever have that chance to be able to enter through that gate, to be able to be that camel through the eye of the needle, to be able to be the rich man who is able to be blessed enough to be in the kingdom of heaven. And it is only through God alone, through God's forgiveness, God's grace, and God's love, through the blessings that we've received, not through what we've obtained, not through what we've done, not through what we've said, but rather for our understanding of laying ourselves bare and turning to God, looking for forgiveness for what we've done, looking for God's help and grace in times of need, being able to stand before God and say, it's not possible without you. And it is then, and only then, when we're stripped of all that we think we possess, when we're laid bare before God, that we will be that camel through the eye of the needle. We will be the one blessed by God's presence in the kingdom of God. Until that time, we're called to use what God blesses us wisely, with care and with concern. And with gratitude, we give thanks by sharing the wealth with the world around us, using what we have to be the blessing that God intends us to be, using what we have to give thanks to God through the actions and the sharing of our lives, doing so until that time comes where we can go through the eye of the needle, the place where it's impossible for us to get. But we get there solely through the grace and the love of God. Amen.